was facing some physical challenges, not just today, but as a few days. And I had spent some time in prayer and in the Word, some extra time in the Word on faith and healing. And then we're spending some time, some extra time in prayer. And Susan had left to go do some things, run some errands. And she came in, and I don't suppose I'll ever forget it. I won't Susan forget. She came in. I had been walking the floor while praying, and I was in the dining room. She came in the kitchen door, you know, from the garage. And to the left is our dining room. So she sees me walking, and I'd been praying and walking the floor while praying. And she walks in the door. And after our initial greeting, she says to me, "Well, how is it?" You know, she knows what I'm dealing with. She doesn't always, but she did this time. And she said, "Well, how is it?" Well, I don't always say in the natural what I feel. But she's of like precious faith, and she understands these things. You don't cast your pearls before swine. They'll turn again and rend you. But those who understand the things of faith, who understand their precious and their pearls, you can talk plainly. But even so, there's some things I just don't say. I just don't let it come out of my mouth. So she said, "How is it?" She's wanting to know, you know, in the natural. Has it manifested or materialized or come into being? Have you got the harvest? You planted the seed, but now how is it? And I said to her, first time I think I'd ever said it, I said, "Isn't it good to know? Isn't it good to know?" See, you have to on purpose discipline yourself and make yourself, when you're facing challenges, things that are contrary to the Word of God, you purpose and discipline yourself to say what God's Word says. So I said, "Isn't it good to know that when Jesus was on this earth, He said, 'What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.'" And that's the way I put it that day when she walked in the door, and I'm to her left in the dining room. I said to her, "Isn't it good to know when Jesus was on this earth, He said, 'What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them.' So I'll have it. Isn't it good to know it's working? Isn't it good to know I'll have it?" Now, years ago, I don't know how many, but not recent, but years ago, many years ago, I might have said what I was feeling. "Well, it's still here. I still feel this. It's still here. I still feel that. Oh, it's gotten worse." Sometimes you say that, but you know what you're doing. And you're not complaining. You're just revealing. But sometimes you say, well, you know, and then you even get mad at God. Like, "God, don't you care how bad it is? Why are you making me suffer so much? Why are you, you know, why are you putting this on me?" Because you don't know that He's not the one that's put it on you to begin with. You know, you don't know that. You've gone to church where they taught that God puts things on you. And you don't know that He didn't do it. He won't let you be tempted above your ability. And therefore, you can bear it, but He didn't put it on you. But if you've not been taught, you'll talk wrong to God. And Jesus, when He was tempted, He spoke the Word. And then He would resist the devil and talk to the devil. Get thee hence, you know. And sometimes we talk the wrong thing to the wrong one. We talk the problem to God, and we ought to be talking the Word to God and resisting the devil. If you're going to talk the problem to the devil and have it in the sense, "You take it from me, you go from me, this won't stay this way." But what I said to Susan that day, "Isn't it good to know?" Well, the Bible does not say problems will not come. The Bible does not say, "When I'm with you, you'll never have trouble." But it does say, "I'll be with him in trouble." The Bible does not say, "If you walk by faith, you'll not have any problems." But the Bible does shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. But it won't do it if we don't do something with that shield. I have to hold the shield up. And then the nature of faith needs to be understood. Hebrews 11:1 tells me that faith is not only the substance of my hope, but it's the evidence of what I do not see. So the nature of faith is based on the unseen. Therefore, when the problem comes, when the challenge comes, when the contrary winds come, then I need to recognize that there's something that I do not see that's bigger than the problem and will actually quench the fiery dart. The fiery dart is in the seen. The shield of faith is of the unseen. So what's necessary right then, what's necessary is for me to dwell on, to focus on, to put the emphasis on what I do not see. So that's where I need to put my mouth. That's where I need to put my heart. That's where I need to put my thoughts on what I do not see. So what I do see is this. What I do feel is that. But isn't it good to know that there's something going on that I do not see and that I do not feel, and that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to emphasize. That's what I want to think on. That's what I want to meditate on. And then that's what I want to talk to the Lord about and praise Him and thank Him. And the Bible says, put me in remembrance of my word. When I'm praying, I need to remind Him of what He said. When Jesus resisted the devil, He quoted the Bible. And so either place, whether I'm talking to the Lord or talking to the devil, I quote the Bible. Talking to the Father in Jesus' name or talking to the devil and resisting him in Jesus' name. Quote the Bible. That is, have Scripture that covers your case. What is it you need? What is it you want? What is it that would counter the contrary winds and the contrary circumstances? Find specific Scripture that applies and then quote that and meditate on that and think on that. Well, I don't see it. Faith is the evidence of it. In Romans chapter 4, Abraham, he's called the father of faith. And it was spoken to him that he would have children, even when he was old. And verse 16, Romans 4:16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. You see, to get into God's grace, you have to come through faith. People talk about God's grace. That's wonderful, but you'll have to use your faith to get there. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith. It's just not automatic. Well, God loves us. He'll automatically do this. It's through faith and the hearing of His word. Faith comes by hearing. But the word preached didn't profit, not being mixed with faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says. So though God is full of grace, compassion, tender mercies, His throne of grace is available, but we're to come and obtain. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, you have to come and obtain it. You have to appropriate it. And that's by His word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So it's grace, but it's through faith. The faith is what brings us into the grace. It is a faith that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Now that is really a metaphor referring to the nature of the seed. Life potential is in the seed. But if it abides alone, it's dead. It doesn't produce anything just sitting on the counter, you know, or on the windowsill. Sometimes people used to, maybe they still do, would put seeds on the windowsill so the sun would dry them out. Well, while they're sitting on the windowsill drying out, they're not going to produce anything up there. They may be drying out getting ready, but they don't produce until they're planted. And So the seed has life potential, but it's dead if it abides alone, if it's not, you know, properly planted and done something with. But once it is, God is the one who gives life to the dead. Quickens means gives life. We don't use the word quick so much in our day. Except when you're cutting your fingernails, you might say, I got down into the quick. How do you know? Because it hurt. Got down where there was some life. I got down into the quick. I know that's alive. Cutting the fingernails, you can't tell that that's alive until you get down there too close. So he quickens or makes alive the dead. He brings life to the seed that has life potential. And so he quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. In some Christians and some people, some believers' lives, that's one of the hardest things to do. I mean, they can glibly do it like a parrot. When you teach them, say this, and they just like a tape recorder, they just give right back out what was recorded. Or like a parrot, they just say what they were told to say, but it doesn't have any meaning to them. And then especially if they get under pressure. Because under pressure, the steam comes out. What comes out of your mouth then? Is what will make the difference. Under pressure, what comes out of your mouth then is what will make the difference. Isn't it good to know where you discipline your tongue to say God's word instead of what you feel or what you see? Under pressure, where you feel discouraged, you feel like quitting, you feel despair, you're carrying every care. And you wonder why God isn't there. And you just, under pressure to discipline your tongue to say the right thing then. Because it can slip out. Then you need to be repenting of that. Lord, forgive me for that. You sow your field with mingled seed and you won't get the right harvest. James said that, like that man who told Jesus, help thou mine unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He believed, but then his mind was given. I believe what happened is his mind was giving him a fit. He wanted to believe, but his mind was giving him a problem. A double-minded man. That means one time your mind is agreeing with your heart, the other time your mind is agreeing with the circumstances. Because your mind really is where you choose. Your mind is where you choose. The word of God is in your heart, but it needs to be in your mind too. Your mind's where you choose. The outward circumstances come against you, and your mind has the opportunity and the temptation to reason with that, to look at that, to think on that. You're to keep your mind staying on Him, and you're to discipline yourself to think good thoughts. Philippians chapter 4, this is important, what your mind is to think on. Discipline yourself to think on the right thing. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Say it out loud, my mind is important. Faith works in the heart, but the mind needs to be fixed on God too. And James said a double-minded. What does that mean? One moment the mind's on the heart, the next moment the mind's on the circumstance. One moment the mind's on the things in the heart, the Word of God, the next moment the mind is on the circumstance. One moment the mind is on the things of God, the heart, the Word, the next moment the mind is thinking of the circumstances that are contrary. James said a double-minded man is unstable. In all his ways, he's like a wave of the sea driven of the wind and tossed. James said, now this is crucial, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. So if I waver, he that wavereth, if I waver, I need to catch it quick and stop it and repent. Say, Lord, forgive me for wavering. I'm going to get back on your word. discipline my mind to stop thinking the thoughts of the natural and the circumstances, the contrary winds, the challenges of life, how I feel, what I see. Instead, isn't it good to know? And discipline yourself to say God's word. Well, if God, the devil will be right there to fight you. He'll fight you. Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. What kind of fight? The fight of faith. So there's a fight to it. The devil is right there to fight you, to talk to your head, and he'll talk about the circumstances. He'll talk about the things that are coming against you, and he'll bring God into it. Well, if God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through that. If you had faith, you wouldn't be going through that. He's all the time going to challenge you with thoughts to make you doubt, trying to make you doubt, trying to make you wonder, trying to make you worry, and trying to make you say something in line with doubt and wondering and worry and fear. Because he knows when you say it, it puts power to it. He can't put power to it, but he knows you can, and if he can trick you into saying the wrong thing. If he can trick you into saying the wrong thing. That's why it takes discipline to fight the good fight of faith. The faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I have a fight to keep my mind, keep my tongue, keep my thoughts on what I don't see instead of what I do. Paul said it this way to the Corinthians. He said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things that are seen. So if I'll discipline myself not to look at it, it's right there, all right. But Paul said, it'll work for me if I don't look at it. But instead, look at the things that are not seen. That's the fight. Said out loud, that's the fight. Because the feelings that you have are real. And it can be a real difficult fight when they're persistent. And they're, big and loud and pain that hurts. And, you cast your care upon him, and then after you get up from that place of prayer, the worry is still right there. What am I going to do? 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 It looks bad. It's getting worse. Those are the thoughts that are trying to plague you and dominate you. And it is a fight, especially when it's physical and you feel pain. And that pain is causing you to wince and respond and groan and ache. It's hard not to look at that. Amen. But the Bible says that we can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Bible says we are to fight the good fight. The shield of faith will quench those fiery darts. And if I will discipline myself not to look at it, well, that's not easy. That's why it says it's a fight. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen. Well, what does that mean? The thing that's against us is working for us. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Thank God it's working for me. But it's only working while I don't look at it. The moment I start looking at it, it starts working against me. So where I put my eyes is important. Where I put my thoughts is important. Where I have my heart is important. When the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus quoted the Bible to the devil. He didn't talk about how he felt. He talked about what the Bible says. And if that's our example to follow, Jesus is our example to follow, then I need to get busy quoting the Bible to the devil. Amen? So the fight is to keep the eyes seeing things that are unseen. The eyes of my understanding, my spiritual eyes. Or, in a sense, your mind's involved too, your imagination. The imagination of your mind and your spiritual eyes. Your spirit has eyes. And so with the eyes of your understanding, let them be enlightened with the Word of God and open the eyes of our heart, Lord, that we may see, I don't feel it or see it in the natural, but I can sure see it on the inside. I see it coming. I see that it's done. I see that it's growing. And isn't it good to know when Jesus was on this earth, he said, what things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them, and you'll have them. Well, I just stayed with that. I stayed with that. And it wasn't long when Susan said, how is it? I could tell her in the natural how it was. Well, it's gone. It's all gone. Praise God. We got it. Hallelujah. I could tell her. She wanted to know in the natural, how is it? I wasn't going to tell her. Well, seeing by code, she knew. If I'm not telling her, that's telling her. Amen. Isn't that right? She could read between the lines. She knew. Isn't it good to know? Well, Abraham believed God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So he's calling something that is not like it was until it is. Now keep the tenses right. He calls things which be not as though they were. Keep that right. Because in the sense of something you've done, you've planted the seed, that's past tense. Keep the tenses right. Because people say, call those things which be not as though they are. Wrong. It's the wrong tense. Keep the tense correct. I mean, in a sense, that's right, but you better keep the tense correct. If you've planted the seed, that seed has already been planted. Now, it's going to produce. That's future tense, because it's been planted. That's past tense. And what you're doing right now, present tense, is pretty important too. So I'm calling things. What am I doing? That's present tense. I am now calling things which be not as though they were, because it's already been done. And it is coming. And that's the fight of faith, because the natural says, this is what you have. You have lack. You have bills that are unexpected, or you got a phone call and the family has had something happen, or a loved one, or the next door neighbor, or some close dear friend, some tragedy has occurred and they're calling you at 2:00 in the morning, and so you're hearing that. Well, you've got to give them compassion and understanding, and you've got to give them, you know, a word of comfort and consolation, but you also want to lift them up in faith. And the fight is to, let's find out what the Word of God says. And let's dwell on that. Let's focus on that. What does the Bible say? Well, isn't it good to know that the Bible says that? Well, this has come, this has happened, and you've got this pink slip in the mail, or you've got this unexpected bill to pay, or whatever it is. Well, thank God His Word says that He supplies my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Thank God the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank God that He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His servants, and He wishes above all things that I prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. And if He causes the flowers to be pretty and He feeds the birds, then He wants me to be clothed and fed, and He will take care of me. Thank God. Isn't it good to know that the Word says this? And then quote the Bible and put your focus on that, and that's the fight of faith. Faith is the unseen, and that's the shield that actually quenches the fiery darts. The fiery darts are coming. You're not immune to problems. Well, I love the Lord and He won't let me go through this. Well, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He's not going to prevent you from having some fiery darts. In fact, Peter said in chapter 4, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened. But he said, here's what you do. You groan a little bit, moan a little bit, bellyache to God, and he'll feel sorry for you and have compassion and just take care of it for you. No, Peter didn't say that. Well, I'm going to complain to God. God, why'd you let this happen to me? And He's just going to do something for me because I'm just going to complain, and He's going to just get tired of hearing me complain. You know, they take some scripture out of context and misunderstand it. No, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, he said to rejoice. That's what he said to do, was rejoice. It's one of the hardest things to do. I mean, it brings out the Christian character. A baby Christian will struggle with this. Somebody say amen. It shows some Christian character when you, in the face of adversity, can count it all joy, the way James said. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Well, I don't feel like doing it, but I'm going to do it anyway, because the Bible says to do it. Jesus said, in the world, you'll just have the blessings of life and the comforts of ease. In John 16:33, John John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have the blessings of life and the comforts of ease. He didn't say that. Did I misquote that? Susan, put that up. Make sure I'm getting it right. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have. Oh, look at that. It says tribulation. Oh, I thought I'm going to have the blessings of life and the comforts of ease. Well, that's true too. He did come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He did come. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He did come that you might have joy, and that your joy would be overflowing and full. Ask and you receive, that your joy would be full. But he also said, you're going to have tribulation. And just don't misunderstand. Peter said the same thing. Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened. James said the same thing. Oh, you're going to fall into diverse temptations. But all three said what to do about it. Peter said, rejoice. James said, count it all joy. Jesus said, be of good cheer. That's one of the things that people struggle to do, is they want to bellyache and complain and talk the problem and say, oh, it's gotten worse, it's bad. And that may be okay to tell someone plainly how it is, but no fear, no despair, no worry. Well, it's gotten worse, but that's okay. The shield of faith quenches it. There's some fiery darts that have hit me, but that's okay. The shield of faith quenches every single one of them. Fiery darts have come against me. Oh, we're going down. We're going under. No, it's all right to understand the fiery darts have hit, but what's your response? The shield of faith quenches every single one of them. Every single one. Count it all joy. Be of good cheer. Rejoice. The realm of faith is the shield. And faith is of the unseen. And faith will call things which be not as though they were. And as we look at the things that are not seen, actually, the light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Isn't it good to know? The discipline is to make your tongue say the word of God. Isn't it good to know when you're under pressure? When you're under pressure, anybody can say, praise the Lord, when things are going good. But under pressure, when you can count it all joy and rejoice and be of good cheer, praise stills the enemy and the avenger. Amen. I like something that Paul also wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 27, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. You know, it's foolish to the wisdom of the world that words can be so powerful. And yet the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, an evil man brings forth out of the treasure of an evil heart evil things. He said it came from the heart. Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. He said it came from the heart. And then he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So he said the good things or the evil things come from the heart. Well, that's foolish to the wisdom of the world. But if I discipline myself to say God's word, then I am siding in with what God has chosen. Adversities of life, struggles, challenges, temptations, tests, contrary winds, they come against all of us. But to discipline ourselves to say the word of God is siding in with what God has chosen. The word of God is God. And he created all of creation by his word. Well, he can certainly sustain it. Praise God. It can be changed by the word. So God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base or insignificant things. You know, worthless things. Worthless things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. He calls things which be not as though they were. He uses things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. In the natural, the contrary winds, the adversities of life, the difficulties, the tragedies, those are here. Those things are here. They're not be-nots, they're bees. It be here. The Word of God be not here. Those are here. But to bring to naught the things that are, to bring, I want to bring that down to nothing, where it is reduced to absolutely nothing. It's something that is here. They are here. Those tragedies are here. What am I going to do about them? How do I bring them to naught or reduce them to nothing? I have to concentrate on the things which are not. Because God has chosen the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. He calls things which be not as though they were. Faith is of the unseen realm. It calls things which be not. It brings to naught the things that are. And it's the evidence of things that are not seen. The proof that I have something that I do not see, when I speak that, and only that, that's the discipline. Because if I'm unstable, if I'm double-minded, if I'm tossed to and fro like a wave of the sea driven of the wind and tossed, one moment I'm speaking God's Word, oh, God's Word is working, but the next moment I'm talking, oh, it's getting bad. I'm so worried it's going to get worse. What am I going to do? And you're wringing your hands. You're not just stating facts to someone who understands and will stand with you. You're actually worrying about it. The Bible says if you sow, you're filled with mingled seed, then you're not going to reap a good harvest. And that's a spiritual metaphor. And the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James, should we just read that? I'm quoting it a lot. James chapter 1. My brethren, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now there, it does say fall. Some people just walk headlong into them on purpose. And temptations means tests and trials. This is not a temptation to sin. It could include that. But it's a tragedy, an adversity of life that's tempting you to doubt God. Tempting you to side in with what you see instead of what you believe. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, so your faith is being tried, your faith is being tested, and that works patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Not everything's instant. Said out loud, not everything's instant. People miss it when they think, well, God doesn't love me because it's not instant. They're trying to get it instant. They keep going for prayer. They keep, you know, going to miracle night. Y'all pray, I didn't get it yet. We have to come to the place where we learn to stand, or we're not going to grow. Somebody say amen. Let patience have her perfect work, that she may be perfect, entire. The word perfect there means complete. And entire. Wanting nothing, you won't want it because you'll have it. If you have it, you don't want it. If you have it, you're not wanting of it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. Now, how does he say to ask? Beg and plead and bawl and squall and just don't give God any rest. Continually berate him and ask him and complain that you don't have it. No, it says ask in faith. And faith believes in what it does not see. Faith is the substance of hope and evidence of what you don't see, according to Hebrews chapter 11. Nothing wavering. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. This is important. People are wondering why they're not getting things from God. One reason could be that they're not asking in faith. They're just asking in hope. They're begging and pleading and complaining. Another reason could be they're wavering. Well, they're blaming it on God. God doesn't want me to have it. You know, it's not always God's will, His wonders to perform. You know, He's mysterious. works in mysterious ways. We don't always know. You know, you never know what God's going to do, people say. And yet the Bible tells us what he's already done and what he's doing. He that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, verse 7, this is crucial. Let not that man, what man? The man that wavereth. Let not that man think he'll receive anything. Now, notice verse 5, it mentions asking wisdom. But verse 7 is anything. Starts out talking about wisdom, ends up talking about anything. Let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why verses like Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 are important. Cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Verse 38, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38, the just shall live this way. And notice this, we don't quote this very often. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So wavering doesn't please God. Somebody say amen. And your faith will be tested. It has to be tested or we don't know it's faith. So don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial as though some strange thing happened. But stand, having done all, stand. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm quoting from 1 Peter 4, rejoice, stand, cast not away therefore your confidence. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast to the profession of your faith. Well, what is faith? It's the evidence of things not seen. So I'm to hold fast to saying what I don't see. That's one of the challenges to the Christian, is to keep your tongue saying what you don't see instead of what you do see. Jesus, when he talked about Lazarus, he spoke plainly, because when he said he's asleep, they didn't understand. But he's not worried about it. He's just making them understand what we're dealing with and what's the involved. But you better catch yourself if you find yourself worrying. You might say, well, it's gotten worse, but thank God. You know, so what? That's just a lie. But you better catch it. Resist fear. That's your enemy. Resist doubt. That's your enemy. Resist unbelief. That's your enemy. And keep your tongue siding in with God's word when you don't see it. Oh, you can praise God when you do see it, but it's faith when you don't. You don't need faith for it when you do. When you do see it, you don't need faith for it. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So isn't it good to know? That's what you say when you're under pressure. That's what you say when you're under pressure. And then quote the Bible. The Bible says this, isn't it good to know? Well, how do you feel? Well, let's don't talk about that. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe. So some things he would see or feel, he would discipline himself to not be moved by them. He didn't deny them. He knew they existed, all right, but it didn't move him. Didn't move him. I'm not moved by that. I'm moved by what I believe. Sometimes I'll even talk to things, say, I don't believe you. My eyes see you, but I don't believe you. Believe, you know, seeing is believing. It is not. Believing is of the heart. It's like a sixth sense. The five senses may tell you one thing, but your sixth sense tells you something else. And my eyes might see something, my body might feel something, and I will even say and look at it, I have been known to do this in the privacy of my own, you know, moment, you know, no one's around me, but I'll see something or feel something, and I'll just say it out loud. Nobody's there to hear me in the natural, but I'll say it right out loud. I don't believe you. Do you see it? I sure do. Do you feel it? I sure do. Do you believe it? I sure don't. And I'll tell it so. I don't believe you. Isn't it good to know? Then that's what I'll say I believe. This past Friday, Pastor Harry and I were together, and I did some teaching, and then he was there to add to because I talked some about my involvement with him when he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And he would call me, and one time when he called, I said to him, "Brother Harry, let me tell you how I'm praying." Because sometimes we say, "I'm praying," people are praying, "Would you pray?" And we don't know how they're praying. And if you're in faith and they're not agreeing with you. Now, they're not stopping your faith, but they're not adding to it either. They may not be hindering you if you're in faith and they're not, but they're not helping you or adding to it. And sometimes people aren't really adding to anything you're doing, and yet they call it praying. They're not adding to anything that you're doing, and yet they call it praying. Well, we're praying for you, and I want to be nice, but I sometimes want to say, no, you're really not. What you're calling prayer isn't really adding to getting results. So I didn't just say, "Harry, I'm praying for you," because that can be so glib and misunderstood. So I said, "I want you to know how I'm praying." And I told him this, and see, I said this past Friday in the midst of some other people that I knew would be blessed by it. And he's right there to give his side of it too. So we're sort of tag teaming. So I said, "Brother Harry, here's how I'm praying for you. Since you said that you believed you received your healing, I've not prayed for your healing one more time." He gave a hearty amen. Now, I didn't tell this part, but at the time he said, you know, most people wouldn't understand that. And they wouldn't. But he gave a hearty amen. Because, see, Jesus said, if two agree, and I'm actually encouraging him and showing him what I'm believing and encouraging him what to believe so we can agree. Because, Harry, you won't die with cancer, according to the Word of God. Pancreatic cancer is one of the worst. They don't give you much hope when you've got a tumor on your pancreas and other problems, other things going on. Bile duct blocked, and he looks yellow, orange. But today the tumor's gone. They can't find it. They didn't cut it out. They couldn't get to it. No sign of cancer at all today. And they didn't cut it out because they couldn't get to it. God cut it out. Amen. But I said, here's how I'm praying. Since you said you believed you received your healing, I've not prayed God to heal Brother Harry one more time. He gave out a hearty amen. And I said, but I am praying for you. See, prayer has to change. You still pray, but prayer has to change after you've believed you've received. I would pray, Father, help Brother Harry not to cast away his confidence, because it has great recompense of reward. Help Brother Harry to hold fast to the profession of his faith without wavering, because wavering's crucial. I mean, if he wavers, he loses it all. I mean, in the heart. Now, the mind can fight you, but you have to discipline your mind. A double-minded man is unstable. You've got to discipline that and make yourself think the right things and then repent quick. Lord, I shouldn't have even said that. Forgive me for that. No, I don't believe that. I'm not going to worry. I resist fear. And then, help Brother Harry that he would not be weary in well-doing. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Harry, this is how I'm praying for you. And so he's there to now begin to teach a little bit on how he received his healing and what he did. And it's that walk of faith, the fight of faith, and then two of you see, the prayer of agreement is the prayer of faith in tandem. If the other person who's agreeing with you isn't doing the same thing, they're not agreeing. And that's why most of what we have out there today is just a religious form. They're not agreeing. They're giving you what looks good in the form letter so you'll send them an offering. Or make you feel good about their ministry or something. But it's when they're going to get into the fight with you. Now, it can be done over the phone. It can be done long distance, but it still has to be two. you some about his church members and other people around him. Brother Tony, they mean well. I know they mean well. They love me. They mean well. But I just need some encouragement. And he'd call me. That's when you have two agreeing. And Jesus said it'd be done. We're going to get this. We're going to get it because Jesus said so and he told the truth. We have to stay in the realm of faith, and faith believes what it does not see. It may see something and it can even say, that's bad. That's worse. But I don't believe it. Isn't it good to know? And then you say what you do believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is faithful. Said out loud, God is faithful. It shall be, even as was told unto me. That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 27. I believe God. Acts 27:25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be, even as it was told me. I've said that any number of times. Can you say amen? Isn't it good to know?